Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Today, we want to start quickly with, as usual, our anchor scriptures. We want to read our first scripture from the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, which is our central theme for the topic we are dealing with, which is also a sub-series we are dealing with. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 5. I'm reading. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our second reading is taken from the book of Mark chapter 5, verse 30. Mark 5, verse 30. The book of Mark is in the Old Testament, after the last page of Malachi, in between Jude and then Nehemiah. Amen. Have you found it?
No.
Hallelujah. Now, people don't like opening their Bible, so we have to find ways and means to confuse them. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5, verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself. Can I get a second microphone so I can get a reader, since you are not projecting? If the second microphone is working, I think Prophet Jericho can help me with a reading. Mark chapter 5, verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue has gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Hallelujah. So we are just reading short verses today. So if you are using a hard copy Bible, you could underline the word virtue. Hallelujah. The last reading is in the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Luke chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Thank you.
And he came down with them and stood in the plain.
Okay.
And the company.
Okay.
And a company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed.
Amen. Which version is that? Is it King James? So the virtue have gone out of him. I hope you saw that one. You saw it? So you can underline that one. Hallelujah. Per our presentation, or what we spoke about last week, we are looking at the very add-ons of faith one by one. And therefore, we want to start with virtue as the first add-on of faith. Hallelujah. Can we take a word of prayer? Father, we thank you this morning, afternoon. We pray that you will speak to us, that your word will establish itself in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we started with add-ons of faith. We agreed that faith alone is dead. From our presentation last week, we saw that in the teachings of James, he said that faith without works is dead. Faith alone. In fact, the word he said is that faith alone is dead. So in as much as faith is fundamental to our spiritual growth, faith alone will not work for you. And I said that just as life, the breath we have, the life that God has given us, is fundamental to our living on this earth, just living, just having this life does not make life meaningful. Life can be meaningless if there are no certain add-ons to this breath of life God has given us. Same with faith. So we found out that the Apostle Peter, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, started teaching the church how faith can be profitable to them. Because the life we are living is a life of faith. Hallelujah. So he started teaching the church how faith can be profitable to them. And we found out the importance of the add-ons of faith. In fact, he gave us seven add-ons. Carry out the church. What was the first one? You know, virtue is the one. Yes, the second one is what? The second one is what? The seven add-ons of faith. Yes, the second one is what? Wow. Hey. Okay, let's not put people into temptation. Hallelujah. That shall not lead you into temptation. Amen. So the second one is what? Knowledge. From knowledge, what is the next one? Uh-huh. Patience. Uh-huh. Godliness. Kindness and what? Charity, which is also what? Love. Hallelujah. So we found out that when we have these things in addition to the faith we have, as we grow progressively or we add these things to the faith we have, we find out that there are certain things that we receive immunity against them. Number one, we found out that we receive immunity against what? Yes, we spoke about this, the importance of the add-ons to faith. What was the first thing? We receive immunity against what? Barrenness or unfruitfulness in the knowledge of Christ. And we found that the knowledge of Christ is very central to our spiritual growth, such that it is the knowledge of Christ, through the knowledge of Christ, that all things pertaining to life and godliness is made available to us. So it is a risk to be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. But we really examine the second immunity. We find out that we are immunized against what? Forgetfulness and what? Blindness. When we have these add-ons to faith, we receive immunity against forgetfulness and blindness. What was the third thing? It makes us firm, grounded in our calling. So Paul said that make sure that Peter said that make sure that your calling, the foundations of your calling, make it what? It stands what? Sure. In the verse 10 of the 2 Peter chapter 1. And the last one is that it gives us an everlasting access to what? The kingdom of God. So this add-ons comes with these four major benefits onto our life. Hallelujah. So we need to examine these very add-ons. Number one, the first add-on that the Bible said in the sequential order, it is sequentially arranged. So we start with what? Virtue, and we end in what? Love. Because love is the greatest. Hallelujah. The first one is called virtue. Hallelujah. Now let's look at what the word virtue means according to the dictionary definition. Virtue is the first add-on that is required to be added to faith. With the World Web Dictionary, virtue is defined as a moral excellence or quality of doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong. Defines virtue as what? Moral excellence or the quality of doing what is right and avoiding what is what? Wrong. That is all the dictionary tells us about virtue. Therefore, virtue means what? Or in general, we can call virtue as what? An excellent what? Spirit. Or the life of what? Excellence. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Now, when we take this definition of virtue from the dictionary point of view, or from the layman's presentation, we will not be able to do justice to the concept of add virtue to it. Because the scriptures that we read, in fact, we are going to look at that. If we go that way, we're going to find that we cannot be able to establish the concept we want to establish. Because the scripture we read from the book of Mark chapter 5, what did the Bible say? Mark 5:30, it's an immediate thing still like, oh, Jesus is Lord. Amen. So, yeah, Mark, let's read Mark chapter 5, verse 30 again. Let's take note of something from there. Mark chapter 5, verse 30.
Mark chapter 5, verse 30.
Yeah.
Mark chapter 5, verse 30.
Yes, please.
And Jesus, immediately, knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes?
Okay. Yeah. Now we are there. Hallelujah. So Mark chapter 5 verse 16. Jesus, knowing himself, having knowledge of who he is, made a turn and asked that who touched him, because virtue has gone out of him. Now this scripture is in relation to the woman with the issue of blood. That he who said that if I should touch the hem of Jesus, I will be what? Healed. And Jesus didn't say the word that Jesus discovered went out of him is what? Virtue. So the question, was it a moral excellency that went out of Jesus? No. The book of Luke even made it more clear to us. Luke chapter 6 verse 18. What in Luke chapter 8, 6 verse 18 said?
Luke chapter 6 verse 18.
Luke 6 verse 18.
And they that were vexed with unclean spirit.
Uh-huh.
And they were healed.
And they were what?
they were healed.
Good. Let's continue.
And the whole multitude sought to touch him.
Uh-huh.
For there went virtue out of him.
For they went
them all.
What went out of him? Virtue. So the dictionary defined virtue as what? Moral excellence. So the question is it this moral excellence that went out of Jesus to heal them? It means that this definition by the dictionary do not fit into the context of what we want to look at. So I decided to do a very deep research because number one, if you look into the Bible very well, the word virtue is not in the Old Testament. You can search. Those who have electronic Bible, you can go to search word, virtue. Oh, you see that virtue only appears 6 times in the Bible, it's in the New Testament. So, in other words, it means that the word virtue is a New Testament word relation. Hallelujah. So, first of all, the word virtue is not an Old Testament, it's a New Testament word. And for us to be able to understand the concept of words that are used, now I want to establish a foundation or establish some clarity before I move on. Now, anytime you are reading the New Testament Bible, I want you to understand the culture that defines the New Testament Bible. The New Testament Bible is a Bible that is written to reflect the culture of the Roman Empire. Now, God in his wisdom, according to the civilization of man, saw that it is only the Roman Empire that was able to give a resemblance to what his kingdom is. So for God to be able to come to establish the understanding of his kingdom to man, he needed to wait for a civilization that cannot mirror his what, kingdom. And the civilization that gave God that expression was the Roman Empire. So you found out that the Bible, the New Testament, is written with the reflection of the literature and culture of what? The New Testament. So most of the script words that are used in the Bible are borrowed concepts and understanding from what? The Roman Empire. For example, the word ecclesia. I've spoken about this in our early lessons of the basis of the kingdom. I hope you remember that. That the ecclesia is a political term. We stands for the people that the Caesar, who is the ruler of the empire of Roman, has selected to represent him. I even spoke about the component of the ecclesia. We have the centurion, we have the what? You do remember that? I spoke about the component of it. That is one word. Another word is sozo. Salvation is a borrowed term from the Roman Empire. So there are many words that are being borrowed from the Roman culture and literature. That gives expression to the Bible, because the people then, when the Bible was written to them, were people under the influence of the Roman Empire. So for even Jesus to explain things to them, he used the Roman Empire word. That I'll build my church, I'll build my ecclesia, and the gate of hell cannot prevail against it. So the word virtue is not in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. Hence, we need to understand the culture and the literature which was used in those days. So I decided to search for the root word of what? Virtue. From what? The Roman Empire perspective. Now this is what you see. The word virtue comes from the Latin word virtus, or virtus, V-I-R-T-U-S. And the meaning of this word, V-I-R-T-U-S, is force, or work, or power. Now you see, that makes meaning to the two scriptures we read. And now this word virtues was used, it's the ancient Roman used this Latin word to refer to what? It was derived from the word var, which is man. V-I-R, V-I-R, the word var means man, the Roman Latin word. Now it was used by the Roman Empire of those times to what? Define or to refer to the excellent qualities of man, of men. The excellent qualities of men, which includes physical strength, valorous conduct, man of valor, so valorous of conduct, and moral rectitude. So it was not only in the definition of moral concepts, the word virtues used by the Roman in the culture of the Roman literature was to describe the qualities of men. So the meaning of the word means what? Power or work or what? Force. But over time, as the word is being used, this is a Roman literature. I attempt to read through the Roman literature to understand the word very well. And anytime you are teaching the New Testament, you should be very careful with the Roman culture and the literature. Else, you may misquote certain words and misinterpret it. The writer of the New Testament were much influenced by the culture of the Roman Empire. And the people they were speaking to were under the Roman government. So they have to speak to them in the language they will understand. So many of the words that are translated in the English word are not so heavy in respect to what the topic the people were treated. Hallelujah. So over time, it settled into the sense of moral excellence. So over time, it settled into this. And do you know people who chose to use it as moral excellence? It was the English word. Now do you know it was in the 13th century that the word virtue was borrowed into English. And when it was borrowed into the word English, it settled as what? Moral excellence. So actually the root word of the word virtue is what? Power. Somebody say what? That is why in Mark, in Luke 6:19, the Bible said that, and virtue what? Went out of him. That is the and we are talking about first century of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the first century, this word virtue means power or force. But as time goes on, it was being narrowed to be used as what? Moral excellence. So if we are dealing with a first century literature, then we have to take it from the concept of the first century literature, not in our concept. Hallelujah. So anytime you see the word virtue in the Bible, it can either mean power by the context in which it is used, in where it is used to form a statement. So the statement will tell the meaning of what it is being used for. So if you read a scripture like Philippians chapter 4, verse, it says, brethren, finally, if there is anything to think about, whatsoever things are what? True, whatsoever things are what? Pure, whatsoever things are of good report and what? Virtue. That virtue, by context, is talking about moral excellence. But this virtue in this scripture over here is talking about power. Now, if you read that of the 2 Peter chapter 1 downwards, you find that there are two keywords. That is the reason why this virtue does not stand for the moral excellence. The reason I'm saying that is because godliness is also interpreted as what? Excellence. Godliness. The life of godliness is explained as the moral behavior of the believer. So we live the life of God. That is more. So the moment godliness appears in that context as part of the add-ons, it means that this virtue is talking about this one. Are you with me now? So now I've established the point that the virtue you are talking about is not moral excellence you're talking about here. But we are talking about the power or the force of God. That is the first thing that a believer must add to their faith. Amen. So now let's look at application. Now the word virtue means power. And if that be the case, let's define power. Yes, all science students over here, let's, what is power? I think I have to start calling names because we all read science. Okay. And lead us not into temptation. Hallelujah. Science defined. Hallelujah. Science defines what? Power as what? The ability to do. Science defines power, the ability to what? To do. Therefore, when we want to look at the concept power, the better way to put it to the believer is to what? Explain the enablement to do. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. The reason why I'm taking time to talk about power is because there is a one-sided way of teaching about power in the church. Says that we are finding it very difficult to accept that power is not on that one side. I'm going to talk about it. But let's look at what power as the man of God says. I can do what? All things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. All things. This is power. The ability to do. So the strength of Christ, which we know is the Spirit of God, is the Holy Ghost in us, help us to do all things, not in only casting demons. Therefore, the power of God that resides in the believer or that is working upon the life of the believer is not only for the casting of demons. It gives us all the enablement to do all things. So when the Bible says, add to what? Faith, virtue, we are talking about power that gives the believer the capability to do all things. So I therefore put it to you that if the power upon you can only cast out devils, but cannot make you to be an excellent student in class is a suspicious power. Because the power of God, by definition, power means the ability to do. Paul said, I can do all things. That is power at work. It means that power, when it comes upon the believer, it makes the believer potent enough to do anything. So when the power upon you as a believer is limited to only casting out of demons and killing of witches, that is a suspicious power. Do you agree with me? So the virtue we are talking about, we have to know what exactly means. It is the God's enablement to do. Hallelujah. Therefore, the totality of our Christian living comes from the supply of God's power, because we do everything through the strength of Christ. I told that the basic unit for life is what? For our Christian life is what? Faith. Is that not it? So the totality, that's why it is the first thing that adds to our faith. It is the supply of the power of God that defines the living of the believer. So whatever you are doing, you are trying to say that this is how the power of God can be expressed. So if you are failing, you are trying to tell us that the power of God has the tendency to fail, which is a lie. Are you following me? So we are looking at that very word virtue. What does it mean? Like, we have to know. There must be a holistic teaching about power. What we begin to define power, the moment you say power to the believer, all the believer knows is that what? Miracles, signs, and wonders. No. It is also an expression of what? Power. I'll come there. Number two. The power of God can practically be compared to electricity power. And this is where we can build a very understanding concept. Hallelujah. All of you here can agree with me that whatever we are doing here is as a result of electricity power, right? Is that not it? It is by that power that this sun is working. It is by that power that this microphone could give us what? Hearing. The same power. It is by that power that gives us what? This air condition, the projector and everything. Is that not it? Is that not it? Hallelujah. Are you with me? So the source of the power is one, but the expression of the power varies. So the virtue of God in the believer is the same among us all, but the expression what varies. To some, they express it as light. To some, they express it as what? Sound. I'm just using the electricity to explain. Do you really get it? It means that the same source of power can have many expressions in your life. So there are times that the believer who is so good at the office can use the power of God to bring certain problems to us, can bring solutions. Hallelujah. The same believer can stand and cast out demons, because the power is one, but it depends on the component which is used to what? Direct it or to conduct it. When the component that is conducting it expresses it as fun, it will respond. So the virtue in the believer is it can do anything. That's why the Bible says it can do all things, because the source that is in us has the potency. I don't know what electricity cannot do. To the extent that now we can move cars by electricity. So the believer has the power of God is in the believer. Put it in life. We can do all things. Tell your friend that we can do something. Tell him that we can do all things. We can do all things. We can do all things in the name of Jesus. Through Christ. Through Christ. So everything that surrounds us in this world is fully influenced by electricity power. Hallelujah. That's why when there is light out, it looks like our whole life is in danger. It looks like we can't live without light for even 24 hours. We are thinking of our mobile phones. We are thinking of our rice cookers. We are thinking of our microwaves. We are thinking of our fans. Like, it looks like our life is totally not in order. But the moment there is light, then we are in place. That is how the power of God in the believer is. When that power is switched off, everything is a mess. Hallelujah. So we are still defining virtue. Hence, the power. power of God supplied to the believer is not only for confronting the devil, and as I said, because God's power at work in us can do everything. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. You understand? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to what? To the working of his own mighty what? Power. It's a great power in us. Are you following? And this power can do everything. But the question is, why is it that some believers can express something? Number one, this is it. The Bible said that he has called us, he has given us grace according to what? Measure. So there's a divine component that God has designed in this man to what? Express his power. So there are two things that affect the differences in the powers of every of the two believers. Number one, capacity. Number two, design. So the two of us can have the same design, but our capacity will differentiate what we can do. Let me give you a typical example. This light bulb here, that's the same design with the one that is in the stadium. True of us. Even in our rooms, the light we buy, there are different grades of capacity. Some are 200 watts, some are 60 watts. Have you seen that? And you can see that the brightness is dependent upon what? The capacity that has been designed to contain. When your capacity is low, the power of God in you, it is not the fault of the supply of the electricity. It is the capacity you have. So you see that some Christians can exhibit great virtue of Christ or God. Some can exhibit a little. It's not the power is not the issue. It is the capacity. That is an issue that we have to work on. When your capacity is low, you have to build capacity. You come to that aspect. I'm just trying to explain the concept. The second thing is that the design model also does differentiate the expressions of what? The power of virtue. How? If this is designed to protect, you can't use it as torchlight. So see that some believers express power in knowledge, intelligence. Some believers, they express the power in deliverance and healing. Some believers also express the power in teaching of the word. So it's everybody and his design models. That is why the prophets have no office is the same. There is always a unique factor added to a design model to differentiate from another. All products have a unique code. So the design model can also affect the expression of what? The power. In all things, what I'm trying to say is that the power of God is not limited to the casting out of demons. The power of God, as defined by Philippians chapter 4, is that it is what makes us to do all things. And therefore, the most compared, relatable item to the power of God is electricity power. The Bible said this is what we should add to what? Faith. Hallelujah. The question is, why do we need to add virtue to faith? Why do we need to add virtue to faith? We are coming to the most delicate aspect of what we are doing today. Have I explained the concept of power to you? That is not only about casting out of demons and witches and wizards, killing them. Holy Ghost, fire, power, people are falling under the grace. That's not all about, that's not all to the power of God. That's just an expression of one expression of the power of God. We are coming to look at why do we need to add this power of virtue to our faith. And when we add it to our faith, what is the outcome, possible outcomes we can see? Number one, the trademark of our origin is power. Our status, our trademark, when we say trademark, an identity, the identity of our origin, where we are coming from, is power. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. Next thing very well. And this very first point is to deal with an identity crisis. Most of us believers don't know our identity. So we can't even relate to our origin. Let's say, for the kingdom of God is not in words, but in what? Oh, can you say this? For the kingdom of God is not in what? Words, but in what? It's in what? It's in what? The reason why many believers are living a life of impotent power, powerless life, is because they don't know that the origin where they are coming from is a kingdom that expresses power. We are not people who talk too much. We can't explain the kingdom of God to you in words. That is a simple statement over here. If you want us to teach you what the kingdom of God is about, we tell you in power. The most difficult thing to explain in words is the kingdom of God. In the book of Matthew, the Bible said that, and the fame of Jesus spread about because of the miracles, signs, and wonders. And what Nicodemus came to say that nobody can teach as you do because of the demonstration of the power of God. If you want people to know where you come from, as per the definition of who we are expressed it in power. Our origin, the trademark of our origin is power. So there's no way you can do without it. The lifeline, the one we are coming from, when you talk about it, the first thing that answers you is power. That is what is the first thing that adds to our faith. When we have faith, the next thing that comes to add to it is power, virtue. And I said, it's not only about casting of demons and witches. So you meet somebody who's not born again. No wonder that Socrates and all these people, Archimedes and other people, when they became born again, the kind of revolution they brought into the world, it's not because they are not ordinary men. They are ordinary men, but because a source has been connected to them, and the expression of that source is power. So the Bible says ordinary men and like Peter and Co, who were just fishermen, when the Holy Ghost came upon them and the power of God began to have residence upon them, people understood them towards power. People will respect you as a Christian and know you are a child of God when they see that you are a man of few words but more of power. I pray for you that you know your identity, that the trademark of your origin, where you are coming from, the trademark of your origin is power. Paul said, there are many people who are talking to you in speeches. They are trying to convince you. I am coming to show you that the kingdom I'm talking about is not of words, it's also of power. Oh, mi lava kushia talabahaya. So when I sit in class, and I don't compete with you on an average, that's why we are not grace mates, we are classmates. We are not grace mates. From today, may you go with this understanding that the place you are coming from, the trademark of your origin is power. For the kingdom of God is not of works. We can't teach you the kingdom by words. We can't do that. We cannot explain the kingdom of God to you by words. We explain the kingdom to you by power. Oh, we are having a generation that is rising, and the world should wait and watch out. Because they think that the kingdom of God can be taught by words. I hear people asking all kinds of funny questions and everything. That why is Christianity like this and that and that? And I see the struggle in the generation trying to explain the kingdom of God to people by words. But there is a generation that is rising that will say, no, the kingdom you are asking for and the clarity you are seeking about this kingdom cannot be answered by words, but they will be answered by power. So the other day, Paul said to her, when I came unto you, I didn't come her by the eloquent spirit of men, but I came in the demonstration of the power of God, that your wisdom will not reside in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I pray for you that virtue will go out of you, just as virtue went out of Jesus. I pray that virtue will go out of you, that your family will see her, that the kingdom your origin her is not oppressed by power. I pray for you that wherever you find yourself, your expression of power will be seen. Act faith. They wonder why you are living a chaste life. They think it's easy. They don't know that you are able to do it through Christ who strengthens you. They wonder why your business is working. And that is our thought. Still, we're not going to choose soon. No matter how hard the economy is, the lion will go eat grass. I pray for you that you will go with this understanding that the origin of your camp, where you come from, we can't talk about it with words. That's why if you're a Christian, you are here, you are powerless. It is a question mark. Because you don't reflect your origin. Time factor. Let me move on. Oh, Dila Makusaya. Our trademark of our origin is power. Number two. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Give me Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12. Let me see something from there. Oh, Vila Kabasita. That at the time we were without Christ. Is that Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12? Can we move on? Can we go back? Let me see from verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Ephesians 2 10. Oh, Jesus. This scripture is going to be my spirit. For we are his what? We are his what? Created in what? Christ Jesus unto us. Unto us. Which God had done before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. The obvious reason why God ordained us or called us, the Bible says, for he that he foreknew what he called. And he that he called what? He justified. And justified, you are ordained. Our ordinance, our ordination is that we express the works of God. And the works of God is what? Good works. James said, faith without works is what? Is dead. So works is very important to our faith life. But can I tell you that without power, you can never and ever live to express this calling of your life. Give me Acts chapter 10, verse 38. To establish my point. Even though the believer is called and ordained unto good works, you are practically impotent to do good works without power. So in the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 30, the Bible says, for how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Our struggle to do good in this generation is because our head is lacking power. The Bible says Jesus will only go out to do good because the Holy Ghost and power is upon his head. Although you are ordained unto good works, you can never manifest good works until power. Oh, be here and play with the power. And how was the interpretation of the good works? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. When the anointing was upon Jesus, the things that the anointing responded to most was the oppressed. I find it difficult when I see news of people that they need contribution to do surgery, and I ask myself, where is this scripture? Jesus went about. Why should somebody come to me and tell me about a sickness and I look at the person, I cannot do anything? The only reason is that I lack power. Because we have been ordained unto this kind of good works. Our ordination is to express this kind of good works. Our faith that is given to us is the expression of this good works according to Ephesians 2:10. Why is it that today believers can only encourage people in their plight? But I remember there was a man called Peter who met a cripple at the beautiful gate. He said he asked of him arms like today they do unto us. Peter looked at him and told him that if you have to be gold and silver, that is not what is upon my head, but I'll give you what I have. And the Bible said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Money answering all things. But money cannot solve all things. There are limitations to money. And when there are places that money cannot do it, the only thing that can answer is power. I pray for you, that all you give unto people shall be money, and mere encouragement. I pray for you that the things you give unto people, henceforth will be power. As just as Peter saw the man at the beautiful gate and said, what I have I give unto you. Alimo Makapaya. We are going back into our communities. We are going back into our family. And we are going to tell people that there is something upon us. How God has anointed us.
Jesus Christ with Holy Ghost and power. But from there, he went about doing good. It is a season of doing good. We have been called on to good works, but we cannot do it without power. So I pray for you to receive power. I pray for you to receive power. Me andoli asaka. Receive power.
Up to faith version. Up to faith version. We can never express the good works that God has ordained us to do when power is lacking. The Bible says Jesus only went out to do good after the Holy Ghost and power came upon him. And the good works he did then, what was responding to the good was setting oppressors free. Do you know how many people that the Lord has bound in our generation? Do you know the number of people who have been oppressed under this economy? Do you know how many people who have been addicts onto drugs, onto all kinds of things? See, no form of rehabilitation center can bring the correction we need in this generation than the power of God. Many people are oppressed, vexed by the devil, and tormented. It will take power. Because the Bible said that when a man goes to a strong man's house to take care it goes, that man must be more powerful than that strong man. Shall the legal captive be set free? The Bible says, yea. Yea, they shall be free. I pray. May God use you like Moses. When Pharaoh thought that the people of Israel was his bona fide property, and that he can do what he willeth unto them, then come a man called Moses, who God set apart and gave him power, who went and challenged the most powerful man ever on earth, and by his rod he sank Pharaoh and his enemies. Just one man was able to bring down an entire nation. I tell you, we just need one man to shut down the foolishness of all the things the enemy is doing in the city of Accra. We don't need more than 10 men, because Moses alone was able to bring down the entire army of the most powerful nation. Because power. We have to raise Christians who are powerful. Hey, Mobile Asaya. Third point. Oh Jesus. Mina Vakusia. Any believer who downplays the need for power in his or her life automatically declared him or herself not fit to be God's representative. Nobody represents God outside power. No king will delegate responsibility or send anybody on an errand without power given unto the person. The next reason why we have to add virtue to our faith is because we are his representatives. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Listen to what Jesus said. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive what? Ye shall receive what? Oh, church, are you with me? We shall receive what? You shall receive what? After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in what? They qualified. See, they were his disciples. But the qualification of being his witness was because power came. There are two kinds of Christians. We have the disciples and we have witnesses. He trained them for 2.5 years. Taught them very well. Led them to salvation because he breathed into them. But he told them that you don't qualify to stand as my witness until power. Nobody can stand as a witness. When you talk of witness, you don't understand. Let's go to the court. A witness is the most vital person in the world, in the decision-making court. Jesus knows that there's going to be a time that people will challenge who he is reality. People as this in our generation, people are saying that Jesus is not real. He is fake. It will take a witness to establish that. And Jesus said that what will make you to be able to establish my reality is that power has come upon you. No wonder that we are preaching Jesus and people still laugh at us and mock us. Because we are trying to be witness without what makes us witness. What makes a disciple witness is not in the eloquent word of God. Paul said, I didn't come in that eloquent word, but because I came, because it is power that endorses you and makes you a witness. When you joke with the power of God and you have no understanding for the need of the power of God, you have disqualified yourself as a witness. Soul winning becomes a problem when you don't have power. Soul winning becomes a problem when you don't have power. Men answer to power. Men, they answer to power. We can never be the witnesses of God when we don't live to the power. Jesus said, wait, it's not enough to know my teachings. You are qualified as disciples because you've been with me, I've trained you. But to be my witness, be my martyr, you need something very essential. Because when I even came on this earth and I have to represent the interest of the kingdom, I have to wait until the Holy Ghost came upon me. The Bible said Jesus also being baptized and deep in the water, and when he came out, the Holy Ghost descended like a dove and came upon him. From that day, the ministry of Jesus started. He was born as a child of God, but it took the Holy Spirit to make him a son. So the Bible said that the creation awaits the endless manifestations of the sons of God. So it is not the children of God that the creation is waiting. It's waiting the sons. It takes a time and period that an endorsement to become a son. Anybody just get up and said, yes, I'm a witness. You're not a matter. Power. Power. I hope you are getting angry for power. I hope you are getting angry for power. The reason why we pray like never before to harness the power of God upon our life is because we can't make mockery of ourselves in public. How many of us have been mocked? Claiming we are Christians and anointed. And you struggle with the very things that they are struggling with. They look at you and say, so is this what anointing could do in your life? That we are struggling with this, you're also struggling with the same thing. Now watch Acts chapter 4, verse 33. What did Acts chapter 4, verse 33 say? After the Holy Ghost came, see the description of these people. And with what? Together, church, and not with what? The apostles, what? Oh, are you with me? Let's read. With what? Great what? Gave the apostles what? What gave them witness? No, there's an adjective to the power. What gave them witness? What gave them witness? So you joke with power. Power gives you the license to be called a witness. You can be in church for many years. You are not qualified as a witness. Do not witness a representative of Christ. The one who manifests the reality of Christ. So you can say and doubt that. See, these are the people who go to places that people don't believe in Jesus at all. But by the time they live there, they shake the place. So the Bible said, these are men who turn the city upside down. Not everybody could turn cities upside down. It takes witness. Oh, may God help us. Are you ready to wait for that power? Are you ready to wait for that power?
Yes.
He said, add to your faith virtue. We need to add virtue to this faith and prove to the devil and the kingdom of hell that we are indeed the witnesses of God. The ecclesia enforcing kingdom decrees. I know next year the devil will clap for us. All for Christ and TMI. We are coming. Next year. The only thing he can do to stop us is to limit our finances. Next year, we are going back to schools. We have left him to play games in the SHS for some time now. We are going back. I told you some time ago, my brother is a witness. There has not been any single SHS we went to preach, and God didn't manifest. It is compulsory that there must be manifestation. Whether we are conscious or unconscious of it, it will happen. Yeah, it is a teaching service, so we are not concentrating on that. But the day that God will provoke himself and he said he wants to manifest power, you see that power day. You think it is just normal for schools to keep inviting you to come and preach if they've not seen something upon your life? The fourth one. the fourth one. Hallelujah. One of the key ways God endorses a man is through signs and wonders. Can we Mark chapter 15, verse 17? Mark 16, 17. Help me. Mark chapter 16. And what Jesus was talking about his disciples, right? And he was giving an identification code to them. He said that they that follow me. Listen, so he said, what to be there? What to be their thing? He said, and these signs shall what? So there are signs that follow what? Believers. These signs define and differentiate us from other peculiar people or other people. But you know that signs and wonders is as a result of the power at work. Okay. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of what? What? Up to faith what? Hello, up to faith what? Up to faith God. Power. Verse 8. And Stephen, full of what? Faith and what? Power. Did what? Great wonders and miracles among what? The people. Hey. Mogi lava Dios here. How many of you want to walk in miracles and wonders? Now, I hope you know the source. Whenever power and faith come together, miracles, signs, and wonders cannot resist it. We need to prove the reality of the God we call upon. The Bible said, and Elijah said that, let us play this game. Take one altar. Let me take one altar. Let's see whose God will answer. We have entered into those generations, the generation of Elijah. But we have to stand and confront all kinds of authorities. The Bible said that with faith and great power. Stephen, though the Bible says signs and wonders have followed us, it took faith and great power for a man like Stephen to manifest it. We have to understand provisions and realities. We confess a lot of provisions, but we don't know how to manifest the reality. The Bible says they shall drink up a poison and it's an odd. Oh, do you want to know these signs? The miracles and signs. Let's go back to Mark 16. Let's look at that. Oh, we love our those signs. We're going to pray. And these signs shall follow them. That belief. In my name, they shall what? They shall do what? They shall do what? Cast out devils. They shall speak with what? New tongues. Can we continue? Verse 18. Oh, Jesus. Next verse. God help our media. The power location. They shall take up what? Serpent. And I explain this serpent to you. They shall take up serpent. You know what it means? Serpent represents the darkness of the kingdom of what? Evil. So we shall take up. Don't understand what we take up. You shall pick up a fight with them. Oh, love the Akongo Sire. You shall go and then go and cause a fight. Just a fight. We pick up with serpents. And the Bible said that they're not. And if they drink any darkness, we can pick up fight. We can go and provoke the kingdom of darkness. And we can do fool. These are the signs. So the Bible said that signs followed Stephen. It was talking about things like this. They shall drink any darkness and they shall not hurt them. Oh. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Bible says these provisions are for those who believe. But do you know that this is a provision? It's not a reality. In Acts chapter 6, verse 34, that it took great faith and power for Stephen to manifest them. That is why we try and we pick up on even small witches, they slap us. You wake up and your face has been designed in a dream and it manifests in reality. Because you lack power. The few witches in my family, they know that they can't play games with me. That is why you go to your home and they cook you can't eat. You lack power. Oh, Jesus. The Bible says, a viper bit Paul and shook it. How can you suck power in survival? Have you seen anything able to kill electricity power before? If you fall in the way of electricity power, you would be the one who died.
Have you seen anything killing electricity power before? That is the expression of the believer. I pray for you. Those things that are tormenting you, especially those serpents that are picking up on you, may you go back and pick up on them in the name of Jesus. If any witch manifests in your dream, dream again and pick them up. If any witches stand against you, go back in that dream and deal with them. When they confront you, they can tell you that if you go, I will deal with you spiritually and I'll add the physical part of it. Because the sign that follows us is the sign that we pick up on serpents.
Go pick up on them. But the Bible says, take great power and faith. Add to faith virtue. The reason why we walk in power is not because of anything. These are the reasons. I'm giving you the reasons. So a believer who has power and faith at work, that is why those our forefathers who didn't know anything in scriptures, all they knew is prayer and fasting. The things they did. The depth of word we are having now cannot be compared to the 80s. Also, for my mind, the revelation of our generation is so deeper than their own. But you see the kind of dimension they express, we are lacking. Why? Because they knew something they didn't know. That is all. All they knew was, hey, John, know what you mean. Hey, John, know what you mean. Hey, John, know what you mean. And they dealt with every force and power. Grounds like voter rights were broken. And churches are now in places like Volta Region, countries like Benin, there has churches over there. Togo has churches over there. He tells you that they didn't go there with the eloquent words of men. With great signs and wonders, they turn the places outside and they have been by words, it's power and faith. How many of you are looking to take over new grounds? You see why you can't enter your new destiny? Because you can't enter a new place without power. You need to break the ground. I pray for you. The next phase of your life, the next opportunity for your life, may power locate you. May power add to your faith that you walk in signs and wonders. The new office that God wants to take you, the new promotion that God wants to promote you, receive the power needed to be sustained over there. Me Captain Palasaya. The Bible says, with great power and faith are saving her, and perform signs and wonders. They turn cities upside down, and we are taking territories of God, not by the eloquent words of men, but we are talking of faith, the power of God. We will manifest it, and men and women will know that they that know their God, they shall walk strong and do exploits. Google them aside. That occult in the office, God is sending a man of power there. You look at him or her and tell her that your time has come. Today, I transfer you. You don't understand why Benson also was a man of fear. You know a man who talks much. He doesn't talk plenty. He will just look at you and say, man of few words. Because in the kingdom, it's not of words, it's of power. So when you are doing this, he come and look at you. Say, you have transferred me. You, tomorrow by this time, you'll not be alive. Play with you. You go. We don't take time to see. We should stop this kind of yeah, bro, for seminar. Our forefathers didn't establish the faith they're enjoying now with bravo, with too much of words. They did it by power. They added to their faith virtue. And we have to know the pathway to harness that power. Let me rush and go there. Last one. The last reason why we have to add virtue to power. Oh Jesus, Mavele Kabasara. Our most effective communicating tool that God gave us is power. A tool for communication, the tool we use to communicate. In today's world, we have many tools of communication, right? We can use WhatsApp platform, we can use many other things to communicate. In the kingdom, the tool of communication is power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4-5. So when I came unto you, I didn't come to you with what? Enticing words, words of men. Oh, can you give it out? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. Oh, Jesus. My beloved prayer. And my speech. I listened to you. Read it well. He said, my speech was, so he was communicating with them. And my speech and my preaching was not with what? Enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirit of God. That is the kingdom tool of communication. Whenever the kingdom of God to speak to people, the tool that he gives to men to express that kind of word is power. Verse 5. And he said, listen to the reason. He said, what? Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Faith and power are together. What has been our tool of communication? Now we are eating football matches. Help me. What? Putes. Parties. I'm not saying they are not good. But when I search in scriptures, when Paul went to Ephesus, he didn't organize a football match. When Paul went to Cyprus, he didn't organize a party. Oh, Mabdi Lasaya. He said, when I came to you in the church of Corinth, in the time of Corinthians, when I came there, I didn't come to speak like a politician. But you know who Paul is? He's one of the learned people ever. He wrote the two-thirds of the New Testament. A man such learned is today we call him professors. See, that is why it's not in degree, a theological degree that will give you. Let's move on. You can have all kind of professorship in theology. That's not a communication tool of the kingdom. Paul said, I know very well that I can do the eloquent speech of men. I can. I'm very good. Paul will argue with people and they want to beat him, but because you can't win argument with Paul. He can argue with you. He said, when it comes to the kingdom business, I didn't go there to preach or speak to you by this eloquence. But I said, I demonstrated power. We can never execute kingdom communication without power. So Nicodemus said to Jesus, Rabbi, which is teacher, nobody could communicate this dimension of God unless, but these signs and wonders is a confirmation that you're a teacher. Teachers of the kingdom are not people who can speak God. They are people who signs and wonders back what they see. So we need to have virtue to faith to communicate the kingdom words. I stand here and I'm preaching like this. If all I have right now is to just preach like this, I'm a useless preacher. And that is not all I have. This is not all I have. Oh, this is not all I have. If it is all that I have, you wouldn't even sit here. Because this will be in a dry atmosphere with nothing. These things I'm teaching didn't come because I read books. These things I'm teaching right didn't come as a result of me knowing the Bible. It came because it is power that encountered another dimension to download. How do we gain power? It's simple. In the New Testament, there's only one way that the Bible says the power will come upon us. Acts chapter 1 verse 6. When the Holy Ghost what, comes upon you, shall receive what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the source of our power. Without the Holy Ghost baptism, the believer is powerless. When you are born again, that is why I like what Apostle Nyamiche of the Church of Pentecost Chairman said recently. That this generation should just introduce them to the Holy Ghost baptism and leave them on their own. If you want to transform anybody, just see the person who goes baptism. The rest, you will handle it. The struggle in today's youth is because most of them don't have the Holy Ghost upon them. They're setting fire when they fall on you. Oh, Jesus. You can't taste the fire of the Holy Ghost and go back the same. What has kept some of us here and doing what they are doing? Because the Holy Ghost caught us when we were 9 years old. I got baptized by the Holy Ghost when I was 9. And since I have never looked back. The only way power comes upon the believer, the only provision that scripture has made is that when what? Holy Ghost. I'm talking of when it comes, not when you have to harness it. We'll talk about that later. Power can be in you, but it can what? Sealed until you know how to bring it out. The Bible says, virtue went out of this. Do you know how the virtue went out? You know. We'll look at that later. I'm talking about the first source, the primary source of power to the believer is when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You know that you organize Holy Ghost baptism over here. If you can't speak in tongues, you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will be baptized. And those of us who our fire has gone down, we will receive refilling to help us harness the power of God. The power of God has not grown, it's static. The same power that rose Jesus from there is sitting in all of us here. The reason we can express it is because we have not learned the ways and patterns to bring it up. That is our next topic, knowledge. When the believer has added power, or virtue to faith, the next thing the believer has is knowledge. And when knowledge and power and faith comes together, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Don't miss next week, because you're going to see the pattern of the kingdom as per faith, power, and knowledge. Therefore, through waitings and desire, we gain access to the power of God. Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2. When we desire, it is by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When we desire the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when we desire the Spirit of God, then He comes in power. Because He is the epitome of God's power. So when He comes to sit upon you, so in the Old Testament, the power of God will come upon them. Through the efficacy of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, not in them, upon them. Baptism. Then upon baptism. And these people who wait mighty days. Oh God, thou art my God, early will I see thee. My soul tested for thee, and my flesh longed for thee in a dry and a thirsty land. Why there is no water, verse 2. To do what? To what? Power only comes to those who are hungry and thirsty. Whatever you are not hungry and thirsty for will never be filled. There was a blessing that is that hunger and thirst, for they shall be what? Filled. I pray for you. Every dimension of power you see in the kingdom, you have heard about in the kingdom, may you cultivate the habit of what? Desire and peace for it. See, we cannot walk in the grace of people like mentioned that also until we test and hunger the hunger they have. Power comes when there is hunger and thirst. Desire. Whenever we organize fasting and prayers, if for no reason, know that you need power. Oh, Spirit of God. Ibat Allah Masai. After the first time, when the Holy Ghost has fully come, that's when power was released. Oh, Jesus. I just saw something right now. When? Come. Ibat Allah Masai. I just saw an aura of fire. Jesus. I don't know what God wants to do through this message for you. But power is being released. Something has been triggered. Something has been triggered. Jesus. You're going back with some. You're going to feel the strong presence of God like never before. Because light has been shown, has been brought forth upon 30 devils of God in you, which has to do with power. I just saw a flash of fire around me. Knowledge brings us light. And I tell you, I'm going back to when with faith and power. Things will start happening and you don't understand. You speak and you see something, not because you are going to understand your place. Let me hurry. Quickly. Last one. How do we add power to faith? That's important. How do we add this energy to faith? Is that add it? The Bible says what? Add it. How do we add it? Through prayer and fasting. Through prayer and fasting. See, faith and power only comes when prayer and fasting is what you do. Oh, through prayer and fasting. Anyone who prays and fasts brings together faith and power. That is a dangerous choice. Don't believe that person. Jesus said that this kind word for not. Except that you want me to accept it. Let's go back to the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 24. Listen to what Jesus said. Mark 11, 24. Mark 11, 24. Do you know that in the Bible there's a prayer called the prayer of faith? The prayer of faith. I'll come to that scripture, then we close. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever thing you want, desire. When you want, and what? How do we add virtue to your faith? Prayer. The belief is there. But how do you go? A lazy, prayerless Christian can never express power. Things don't happen just in this kingdom like that. If you study the life of the apostles, the Bible says, in the early hours, in the time of prayer, you will find out that there are people who pray. No wonder the 10 cities are fighting. Our forefathers. When I talk like this, it brings to mind my late father. All I know about my father is prayer and fasting. Though he's a man in the world, no wonder he raised about 7 people from dead. In those days, they were farmers. They were doing their own job so they could spend time in prayer. My dad and I can go to farm. We will come with him, and the man will put his cutlass down. Then you see, he has done like this. Okay. All you hear is tongues. All you hear is tongues. The man begins to speak in tongues. We can never see the move of God without power. And how we add faith to power, or how we add power to faith, is by prayer. James chapter 5, verse 15, my last scripture, we are closing. This was very important that in the teachings of Apostle James, he said to the people that if somebody is sick amongst them, and the prayer of what? The prayer of what? There are various kinds of sickness. I hear that there's something called Yariska. The prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Can you lift up the voice and be on your feet? Is there anybody sick among you here? Is there anybody depressed among us here? Is there anybody under any form of attack here? In the mighty name of Jesus, Convertakaya. Jesus said, whatsoever thing you believe, pray and believe. We have been praying in the church, but we didn't know that there are dimensions of it. There's a prayer for the prayer of it. It's not every prayer that works, it's the prayer of it. Oh, Mandaba Sakaya. Don't grow so strong. Come lift up our voice in prayer. Come tell them, Messiah. Oh, God, we add to our faith virtue. May our life be an expression of faith and virtue. In the name of Jesus, Capena Messiah, the prayer of faith, Mele Andia Sukaya, Adolo Messiah. How can we belong to a kingdom that all it's to the kingdom is an expression of power, and that power is not seen in our life? Minataka, Helene Kapaya, Adolo Messiah, Ikitala Messiah.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.